January 31st, Sharmani Didi Morlimba.
Kripamayitvam Sharanam Prapadyam Brinde Namaste Charanaravindam Tavaivasmi Najivamitam Vina Iti Vidyaya Radhe Tam Nayamam Charanam Tike. First I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev. Nityalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Astotara Satashi Shrimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev. Om Vishnupad Astotara Satashi Shrimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. So I'm very happy to see old faces anew. I feel very gratified to see all of Gurudev's beautiful sons and daughters after so long. I asked Mahaprabhu Prabhu what I should speak about tonight, and he suggested that we speak about harmony, things that Srila Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada have said about harmony amongst us all, because that's a thing that's so much required in order to make Guru happy and thus make us happy. The opposite of that is the example that Prabhupada gave, humorous and sad, of two brothers who were massaging their spiritual master. And accidentally, one of them hit the leg on the side where the other brother was massaging. It was just an accident. And so the brother on the side of the leg that was accidentally hit became angry, and he struck the other leg on the other side where the other brother was massaging. So he became more angry, and then he smashed the other leg of the other one. And this was going back and forth. So then the Guru said, Prabhupada imitated, "Oh, you are fighting and therefore I am dying." When Srila Gurudev was just in New Zealand, he stressed on at least three or four occasions that all the devotees there should serve without any difference of opinion. The seniors should serve, the juniors should respect the seniors, and the seniors should give love and respect to the juniors. Love and affection. So who's senior? There's the regular version of senior. That is, who joined first, who took initiation first, who's older by years of birth. Those are all the general meanings of senior. And the real deep spiritual meaning of senior is who gives love and respect to all others. If I'm demanding love and respect from you, then I'm not at all senior. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a pond, and different people are throwing their pebbles in the pond. So if I throw my pebble in, and you throw your pebble in a different place, then those pebbles make concentric circles that overlap each other. So if my interest is me, and your interest is you, then we'll have overlapping interests, and there can't be harmony. And when there's no harmony, there's no peace either, and no determination for serving our real self-interest. Now, if we take that same pond and everybody throws the pebbles in the exact same point, then those circles, pebble after pebble after pebble, those circles keep expanding and they go all the way to the end of the shore, or the end of the pond to the beginning of the shore. So Prabhupada said that if we all make our interest Krishna's interest, and by that his representative Guru's interest, then the love and affection expands to all the corners of the universe. So these are some things that Prabhupada said. And Gurudev, time again and again and again, he's saying that you should all, just now when we came from New Zealand, you should all work without any difference of opinion. So then I'm thinking, of course, everybody should have my opinion, and you're thinking everybody should have my opinion, and we ended up in the same boat. So, but if we meet and inquire, not how can you listen to my opinion, or how is your opinion wrong, but how can we have the same opinion? If that's the goal, then the process is very easy to follow that. Gurudev said, I want you all, in New Zealand, he was saying, I want you all to help this particular disciple who's building a big grandiose temple, just like our temple in Govardhan, very gigantic, multi-million dollar project. Now if I think, all right, well let's first see if that devotee proves himself to be worthy of following. Who am I hitting? I'm hitting my guru, and I'm thus hitting myself. I'm not hitting the devotee. So whatever guru orders, then without condition, if we do that, then we become successful. When Srila Gurudev first arrived, perhaps it was the last time he arrived in Muilamba, or it was just the time before. But on his arrival address, he said, you should always keep three verses within your heart. One, Tatenukampam Shushumikshamanam Punjana Evadmakritam Vipakam Ridvagvapurbir Vididam Namaste Jivaita Jo Mukti Pade Sadayava. Whenever there's any suffering, I shouldn't say, Gurudev is explaining, I shouldn't say, he's the cause of my suffering, or that situation is the cause of my suffering, but rather, my past sinful activities are the cause of my suffering, or Krishna wants to give me an operation so that I can become purified, and that's the cause of why I'm suffering right now. So it's not really suffering, it's really an operation for my benefit. And knowing that it's the mercy of the Lord and I deserve much worse, but he's just minimizing it, then with increased enthusiasm, I offer obeisances to the Lord through Guru with my body, mind, and all my senses and my heart. Then the second verse that he said to keep in our heart is from Bhagavad Gita. Dukeshvanu vignamana Dukeshu vigatas priha Bhiktaragapaya krodya Sita dir munirucchate One who is never elated when there's happiness, or disturbed when there's distress, and who is free from attachment, fear, and anger. He is a stage of steady mind. When Lord Ramchandra heard that he was going to be coronated in a few days and be the king of the whole world, he wasn't at all elated. And then, the next day, when he heard that he was banished to the forest for 12 years, he wasn't at all disturbed. 14 years. He wasn't at all disturbed. So we may say, well, he's God, of course he wasn't disturbed. But the Lord is Maryada Purushottama, Lord Ramchandra. That means he's teaching us how to be, taking everything in the mood of Narayana Parayana, that everything is under the control of the Lord. So why be disturbed? I should take every opportunity to serve the Lord in all the circumstances that he creates. And then the third verse is Trinadapi Sunichena Tirodapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Being more tolerant than a tree is so tolerant that it never asks anybody for water, even if it's drying up from thirst. And it always gives its shade and its fruit and its bark and its flowers for anybody that comes along. So always working for the welfare of others. And amanina manadena, never desiring any respect for myself, but always giving respect to others, even those who disrespect me. So, when I hear that, it's pinching because I can't do it. So how do I follow then that instruction of Gurudev's keeping these three verses in my heart? I remember it with my mind, and then I pray. All the songs that you were singing are just for that. We're singing, Gurudev, please make me as you are, without any ambition. Please make me tolerant. Please make me give respect to others without desiring any respect for myself. Or you were just singing, please take away my six kinds of faults. What are the six kinds of faults? Overeating, over-collecting, over-collecting doesn't only mean money or possessions, but it means over-collecting with any of the senses. Prajalpa means not only with the tongue, useless engagement, but with any of the senses. So, oh Gurudev, please help me to control my six faults. Please give me the six kinds of favorable attitudes towards devotional service. And what are those six favorable attitudes? Utsahan, enthusiasm, determination, patience, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. If the previous acharya was a householder and I'm a householder, then following how our previous acharyas were householders. And if our previous acharya was a renunciate and I'm a renunciate, like Gurudev said, all ladies should follow Ganga Mata Goswamini, and all renunciate men should follow Raghunath Das Goswami. All householders should follow the Pandavas or Srinivas Thakur. And what's the sixth? Always keeping in the association of devotees. So we don't have the power to do anything without Gurudev's giving that to us. So what we're singing in the morning and in the evening is only meant to get us in the habit, so we're singing that continually. So Gurudev is expressing everywhere he goes about harmony. When he was in Brazil about 4 or 5 years ago, there was a lot of party spirit and difficulty for the devotees to get along. So Gurudev said on the last day of the festival that if you don't get along, I'm never coming back here. And he said the same thing in England. So if that's the goal, then it's very easy to have the process to be there. And if my interest is me and your interest is you, then there's automatic competition. If my interest is helping you, even if your interest is helping you and not helping me, there's no competition. And then we're one in harmony. I'd like to share with you some of the katha that Gurudev was giving recently, just before he came here to Australia. And every morning he would go on his morning walk, and then he was staying with his disciple Damodar Prabhu. And every morning he would come back to the house, and then he'd give a question and answer, darshan. So it looks like he might be doing that here also. So once, a lady who had been chanting for 25 years, but she never had a guru, she was introduced by one of the devotees. And the devotee introduced her that recently her husband died about 2 years earlier, and now she was greatly grieving and she didn't know how to control it. So Gurudev called her up to him and he said, you should know that your husband has not died. He has taken another body, but now you cannot recognize him. Also, now your husband has forgotten you, so you should forget him. And actually, you should know that your only husband is Krishna. No one else in this world can be husband or son or father or any relationship except for Krishna. When I was in a car with Gurudev going from Badger to Oakland, California, about 10 years ago, we were sitting in the car and Gurudev said, actually he had just come from Willambar before Badger, and he said, this last 10 days in Badger went just like a dream. So I said to him, you know, you said the same thing in Willambar, that the 2 weeks that you spent there went just like a dream. What did you mean by that? So he said, it goes in a flash and it doesn't have any reality. And you'll only realize that when you realize Krishna, that this place is all illusion. In fact, there can't be any affection for anyone in this world. So I said, well, what about God brothers and God sisters? So he said, does one Atma marry another Atma? So I said, well, okay, well, what about between God brother and God brother? So there were two God brothers in the car. There was, Pundarik Prabhu and Nandagopal Prabhu, who was driving. So Gurudev said, do you know who Nandagopal is? How can you have affection for him if you don't even know who he is? So that may make us think, well, okay, then I won't have any affection for any of my god brothers and god sisters. No, it's because we want to love Guru that we act on the platform of affection. Affection is illusion because we don't know who the other person is. And but then again, what's the opposite of affection?
Hatred
is also illusion because we don't know who the person is. When Prahlad Maharaj heard from his teacher that, oh, you have taken the side of our enemy, Vishnu, Prahlad said, oh my goodness, I've heard before that there was such a thing as friend and enemy, but I didn't know that it really existed. Now I see that it exists, and I'm shocked. How could anybody be in such illusion? If anybody has conception of friend and enemy, he can never experience the super soul within his own heart. Because actually there's no difference between your enemy and yourself. We're all part of the same person, like a hand and another hand, a finger and another finger. So Prahlad Maharaj is amazed. So there's no affection, but there's no hatred. So we act in Vaidhi Bhakti, as long as we're in Vaidhi Bhakti, on the platform of affection, on the order of Guru, of respect and affection. Therefore, because it's for Guru, if I think my relationship is with you or you or you, then depending how my senses, because now my center is me, depending how my senses are perceiving how you act towards me, that's how I'll feel about you, and I'll change. One minute you're my friend, the next minute you're my enemy, the next minute you're half-half. But if my center is Guru, then it doesn't matter how anybody acts. I have my order to Guru. My order is affection and respect. So then there's never any hesitation. Just like Lord Vishnu, he's the Supreme Absolute Truth. There was a debate amongst the great sages. Who is the Absolute Truth? Is it Brahma, Vishnu, or Shiva? So Bhrigu Muni was elected to go to the three of them and see which one was the absolute, pure truth. So Bhrigu Muni went to Brahma and committed an offense just by his mind. He didn't offer obeisances, even though Lord Brahma is his father and the chief of all the demigods. So Brahma had to control his anger. He became furious inside, but he had to control his anger. Then he went to the next person to examine, Lord Shiva, and now he did an offense to his mind. But by his words, he said bad things about Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva immediately took his trident and became furious and was going to do something bad to him. But then Parvati begged him to tolerate. So then he went to Lord Vishnu to commit an offense with his body. And he went to Lord Vishnu as Lakshmi Devi was massaging his feet, and he kicked him very hard in the chest. So Lord Vishnu got up and said, oh, excuse me, you're such an honorable Brahmana, and you've come to my abode, and I didn't even properly honor you. Plus, my chest is so hard, and your lotus feet is so soft. Please forgive me. So then they understood that, yes, Lord Vishnu is the absolute truth. So Gurudev is telling this lady that no one else but Krishna can be your husband and wife. So does that mean I shouldn't serve my husband, or I shouldn't serve my wife, or I shouldn't serve my children? No, it means that I serve Guru, and for Guru, now I see that my family members, manasa deha geha jo ki chumor, that my family members are not mine, but they belong to Gurudev. So I serve them and assist them in them becoming pure devotees of Srila Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, the pure devotees, the disciplic succession, and ultimately Radha and Krishna. It's not something that comes naturally unless we're naturally in spontaneous devotion. So this is called Vaidhi Bhakti. I don't have any feeling, so I do it as a matter of duty. Vaidhi Bhakti means that for those who are not on the level of spontaneous love and affection to the Lord, I act following the Shastric injunction out of awe and reverence and out of fear. Awe and reverence means that the Shastric injunctions are coming from the Lord Himself, His own breathing, and from the words of the great sages. So it's my duty to follow these instructions. And fear. If I don't do it, I'll go to hell and I'll suffer tremendously. Which is a fact, because, for example, if I criticize anybody, which is against the order of Guru, against the order of Krishna, Gurudev said often, I have not authorized you to criticize, so I'm going against the authority. What happens if I go against the authority? Srila Prabhupada gives the example that if in a war I kill 100 or 1,000 people on the order of the general, then I go home and I get a medal, even for killing. But then I think, wow, it's pretty good. I kill people and I get medals. So then on my own, I kill one person. And what happens? I don't get a medal. I get the electric chair. Because I've acted independently from the bona fide authority. Vasanti will say a verse in regards to that, that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Loud. No. Yeah, that's that one. Louder?
If one works in consciousness of me.
I'll repeat. If one works in full consciousness of me,
can overcome all obstacles by my grace.
Then he can overcome all obstacles by my grace.
But if he works,
however, if he does not work with this consciousness,
and works out of false ego, not hearing me,
then he's completely lost. So this is Vaidhi Bhakti. For my advancement in Krishna consciousness, even if I don't feel like being honorable and respectful and humble and affectionate, I act it, and then Guru is pleased, and then he makes it natural. So Gurudev is telling the lady that no one else could be my husband or my wife or my children or my parents. All of us are eternal servants of Krishna. Then he said, if that man was your husband, then why did he leave you? And if that man was your husband, anyway, wait a minute. What did you do with his body after he left? And she said, I cremated it. He said, ashes? You made his body into ashes? You said he was your husband, then why did you put his body in the fire? He said, so you should not lament. Krishna is your only husband, and he never dies. And you, the soul, also never dies. So don't weep or lament in vain for nothing. Weep for Krishna and be happy that your husband will never die. He's always playing his flute, and he's always calling you. Then another devotee was introduced to Gurudev from Christchurch. And Madhu Pandit Prabhu introduced him that this bhakta, he's been chanting for 22 years, and he wants to give his heart to you. So Gurudev said, You want to give your heart to me? I mean, no. He said he wants to give his heart to you. And then Gurudev said, you will give your heart to me, or you have given your heart to me. So the Bhakta said, I will give my heart to you. So Gurudev said, no, never say that. Always say, from this moment, I have given my heart to you forever, and I will never take it away. And Gurudev said, yes, I want to take your heart. Then there was a new lady, a young girl, who had met the devotees, perhaps when they were distributing, I'm sorry? She looked them up in the phone book, why? Oh, she heard of Hare Krishna, and for some reason her Sukritis of millions of births had come to a point where she just looked them up in the phone book. And she just knew the devotees for one day. And the day that she happened to come was the day that Gurudev arrived. So she was introduced as a one-day-old associate. But she wants to get initiation already, but she doesn't know what initiation is. So this is called Sukritis building up. You don't even know why you're doing something in bhakti, but it's just happening to you because of your collection of Sukritis. So then Gurudev said, okay, this is initiation. An expert teacher gives lessons to the student, explaining the process of how he's going to study a particular subject matter. Similarly, the bona fide guru gives transcendental knowledge, and he also gives a relation with Krishna. He tells you what relationship you have with Krishna, and he actually gives you that relationship. The relationship is already there in seed, eternally, but he makes it happen. Without Guru, it can never happen. He said, by Diksha, all your sins and all your unwanted thoughts and habits disappear. Then, by this Diksha system, gradually you will realize what your relationship is with Krishna. Then he said, do you know the meaning of relation? Is your father alive? He said, yes. Is your mother alive? Yes. Are you married? Do you have a husband? He said, no, not yet. Then he said, so what relation do you have with your father? He's your father. And if you get sick, will he take care of you or not? He said, yes, of course he'll take care of me. Then Gurudev said, if you're married and you have a son, if your son gets sick, very, very badly sick, and needs a very expensive operation, you'll spend your entire treasury, you'll beg, borrow, or steal money just to get enough money to take care of your sick son. But if you have no relationship with somebody, then you might feel bad for a minute and then go on with your life. So everything depends on relation. He said, so similarly, if you develop your relationship with Krishna by initiation, then you'll be prepared to give everything to Krishna, and Krishna will give his entire mercy and his entire self to you. So as Gurudev's representative, our representative or wanting to be devotee, one, we have two relations with him. One is the internal relation. He explained at Kartik this year that we have two relations with Guru. One is to see him as our father, our mother, our brother, our guardian, our protector, our maintainer, and our everything. And then internally, we see him as Shakshad Harita. We see him as the manifestation of God, who's as powerful as God, but more merciful, There's all the powers invested in him from God. He can just touch our head and take away all sins from millions of births, and then we end up in Goloka Vrindavan. We close our eyes, open them, and we're in Goloka Vrindavan. Once when he was leaving his last European festival in Germany, he was just about to get into his car to go to the airport, and some devotees were standing at the car bereaving for very big, big problems that they were having, and they didn't quite know how to tell Gurudev. So Gurudev already knew their hearts. So he said, "No problem. Just think of this world as a dream, as a swapna. Just chant Hare Krishna, close your eyes, and you'll see that it's all a dream, and you'll end up in Goloka Vrindavan." So by the touch of Guru's hand on the head, he has that power to immediately change us. Therefore, we want to give him our everything. So then Gurudev said, so this diksha process, yeah, so we have that relationship of seeing him as Krishna's manifestation, and also Shakshat Harit Vena Samasta Shastri Uptas Tatava Vyata Eva Sadhavi Kintu Prabhu Yapriya Eva Tasya, and also see him as a maidservant of Srimati Radhika, as a gopi. And just as Radha and Krishna are everywhere, all over Goloka Vrindavan performing their unlimited pastimes, and in all the universes performing their unlimited pastimes, they're in each universe on a roadshow, so Guru is there with them in the innumerable universes and the innumerable places. He's also in every one of his books, and he's also in every one of our hearts, giving himself fully. So that's our internal and external relationship. Then, very interesting, one devotee on another day in New Zealand asked Gurudev that some people say that if one is not born a brahmana, then he can never become a brahmana. So Gurudev said, what they are saying is wrong. Who is Narada Rishi? Narada Rishi was born of a maidservant. And Vyasadeva, his mother, was a fisherwoman. And Agastya Rishi took birth from a pot. And Gautam Rishi took birth from a deer. So we're not interested in birth. Prahlad took birth from a demon Rakshasa family, but he's worshipped by all the brahmanas. Ram took birth in a Kshatriya family, appeared in a Kshatriya family, but he's worshipped by all brahmanas. So he's saying that according to one's qualities and according to one's work, that's how one is seen. Hanuman took birth as an animal, so we should never see anybody by birth, but always by quality. Then he told the story of a son of a prostitute. The mother was named Jubali, and the son's name was Jubala. And Jubala, as a young boy, approached Gautam Rishi for initiation. And Gautam Rishi said, well, what caste are you? And are you a brahmana or what? Who's your father? So Jubala said, I don't know who my father is. So Gautam Rishi said, well, go and ask your mother then. So he went and asked his mother, and his mother said, well, I also don't know who your father is, because when I was younger, I was a prostitute. And so I don't know who your father is. I had so many men. So Jubala went back to Gautam Muni and said, my mother also doesn't know who my father was. So Gautam Rishi said, oh, you are a brahmana because you have told the truth and you weren't afraid of being embarrassed or anyone. So since then, Jubala has been accepted by everyone as a Brahmana. And he was also joined in the association of Ramchandra. Came to his wedding? Came to Ramchandra's wedding. So ever since then, his name was Satyakam Jabala, or the Brahmana Jabala who always speaks the truth. So Gurudev was giving so many wonderful instructions for all kinds of questions and all kinds of yearnings. One other thing that some devotees wanted me to talk about, one thing that will very much help the harmony is if we do programs together. Whenever it's not possible to do programs, Gurudev is always encouraging the devotees to make our home a temple and do the programs at home. We need each other because it's more difficult to do the programs alone, but if we're together, things automatically happen. Just like you come here and sit down and there's automatically singing. It's automatically kartels, automatically Hari Katha, automatically glorification and sincere prayers for deliverance by Gurudev. So otherwise, Gurudev wants everybody to do Mangala Arati at home. Srila Prabhupada said that one should not be a mother or a father or a teacher or a king or a spiritual master unless he can deliver his wards from the clutches of death. And Prabhupada also said that the mother or father should think, I have to take care of my child in such a way that he or she will never take birth again. That great is the responsibility. So if we give our children, and then automatically ourselves, a nice morning and evening program, and then try and meditate as we're singing, for example, the Mangala Arati song, try and think of the deep meaning of the song, how Radha and Krishna are waking up in the morning, and how the birds are singing. Well, you better hurry up and get to your houses, otherwise Jatila will come. Or maybe Nanda Maharaj will come and look for you. And then we see there that our Param Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Priyan Keshava Goswami Maharaj, is also there. He's playing the kartel in his sadhak form, but he's also there in his siddha form as a gopi, doing kirtan by jingling bracelets, jingling ankle bells, jingling waist belts. So gradually, starting from anywhere, starting from just doing it without any care, gradually we understand more and more the deeper meanings, and then one day we actually enter into the song itself and come out at the other end as a participant in the pastimes that are being sung in the song. Of course, that's not a one-day process. As Srila Gurudev was telling that young girl, Diksha is not a one-day process. It goes over many lives. So it's our duty, he's saying, to our children. If we don't have a Gurukula, then it's our duty to make a Gurukula right there in our home and help our children to have the higher taste, so that they are no longer interested in the things that will hurt them. For example, in Badger, a few years ago, Gurudev said, don't look at posters. Posters, you know, buy this car and you have a gorgeous girl standing next to the car, or take this airline flight and you have another gorgeous girl there, or be popular by using this lotion. He said, don't even look at posters, because if you do, and it makes an emotional impression on you, then that impression remains for millions of births. And you have to experience all that for millions of births. Then what to speak of movies or television? how detrimental they are. Whatever we do again and again, we get impressions on the heart. Gurudev was saying that one of his young lady disciples, before she was married, she was a secretary, a free, unmarried secretary. And she used to have her, you know, her shoulder bag and was strutting along to her job. But then she got married and she had a child, and she became so much in the activities day after day of motherhood that she can no longer think of anything but that I am a mother. So similarly, when impressions become made by an activity again and again and again. So even if I have no taste for Mangalarati, even if I have no taste for daily bhajans, even if I can't sing to save my life, even if I don't like to read every day or read with my family and children every day, Gurudev said, even if I have to force myself to do it, then gradually the taste will come. I took the opportunity to, if I can find it, take a few quotes from Srila Prabhupada on the detrimental effects of hearing mundane sounds. Prabhupada said, this transcendental sound of Hare Krishna, just like your radio message, television sound, they cannot go beyond this earthly planet at most. But there is a sound which can penetrate the whole universe and go to the spiritual world. Sound is all-pervading, that is a fact, scientific fact. If that sound is potent, then it can penetrate and send us beyond the material sky to the spiritual sky and go to Krishna directly. That sound is Hare Krishna. He said, the whole purpose of living is to get knowledge of who I am. What is this nature? What is God? Why am I suffering? He said, real knowledge is not how to work a television, or how to work a motor car, or how to engage in sense gratification. That is called plundered knowledge. If I use that knowledge and put a DVD of Gurudev or Prabhupada or any Krishna show on my television, then that's real knowledge. But otherwise, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, that material knowledge acts as a javelin in the heart. And the mundane sound vibration pollutes the entire air and makes us quarrel with each other and makes us want to do evil things and have evil thoughts. So sound vibration is very, very important. So it's the responsibility of all the parents, and I'm also talking to the children, that I can't control anything, neither can I order you anything to do. But I just want to give you this information from our spiritual masters, from Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev, that just like taking intoxicants, or just like drinking, or just like taking beer, they may be a moment of relief from the miseries that I'm suffering due to my bodily consciousness, but then ultimately it gives us so much misery. It forces us more on the bodily consciousness. It makes us give up our taste for Krishna, and we have no desire then to go to kirtan or to hear Harikatha or to remember Krishna or to read about Krishna. It's very, very detrimental. Srila Prabhupada once gave a class on the subject of this verse, that life's desires should never be aimed at gratifying the senses. One should live only because human life enables one to inquire about the absolute truth. And this should be the goal of all of our works. Our nature is to serve. So if we engage in the service of Guru in harmony, then in any circumstance we'll be happy, because we'll be living in another realm. If I go into a conversation and I want to be understood and you want to be understood, then there's conflict and I'll leave that conversation feeling very uncomfortable, feeling undone, feeling lost, feeling incomplete, feeling anger, feeling vengeance, feeling all kinds of negative things. But if I go in to a conversation trying to understand you, even if you're not trying to understand me, then I'll come out of that conversation feeling very happy, successful, and ready to serve Guru. So Gurudev's been talking a lot about harmony and giving so many examples of even if one is unjust by our own sentiments, even if one is unjust, or just like if I watch TV and I see how people are taking revenge on each other, then I think, yeah, the good guy is taking revenge, that's what I should do. There were some newspaper articles when I was in America that some children were doing those video games, you know, and you have your gun and you're shooting all the bad guys and chasing the car down the road. And then they went into school and shot their teacher and the other children. Because whatever we're taking in, it becomes part of us. I asked Gurudev after that lecture in Badger where he said, don't even look at posters. So I asked him a couple of years later in Mathura, that suppose I'm on a rickshaw going shopping in Mathura or Vrindavan, and all these signboards are just bombarding me. So how can I avoid them? I can't just sit on the rickshaw and close my eyes. So Gurudev said, no problem. Just let it go in one ear and out the other. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Of course, it's easier said than done. But he was reiterating that don't try to look at these things. For a moment, it's pleasure, and then long term. This is the difference between prayas and shreyas. Prabhupada gave the analogy that a child, he's crawling along, and anything that he sees is for his eating. It may be a dust ball, it may be an open safety pin. So he thinks, oh, what a glittering object, let me eat that. So he bites on the open safety pin and his whole mouth begins bleeding. That's prayas. And shreyas means that I hold off on the momentary bombardment of the senses for long-term, permanent, and eternal happiness. So Gurudev was giving many examples. I'm going back and forth between the harmony and the service to Guru as the center. Even if we think that we're being abused by our own conception, then Gurudev gives the example of Narada Muni. He was cursed by Daksha because he was training his children in Krishna consciousness. Daksha's 60,000 sons. So Daksha cursed him that you'll not be able to stay in any place longer than it takes to milk a cow, which is a couple of minutes. So what did Narada do? He could have easily cursed him back, but instead he thought, wonderful, I'll never be able to stay in any place long enough to get attached. Let me just travel and preach. And so he made thousands and thousands of disciples. And then Gurudev said, he quoted one Hindu saying, that if you put a thorn in anyone else's path, then that thorn will grow three prongs and come back to you as a trident. Whereas if you put flowers, if you do good, then you'll get showered with flowers. So Gurudev is stressing these things over and over again, and he will again when he comes here. So I just wanted to share that with you, his katha and questions and answers in Fiji and New Zealand, and his message for us all. So I'll stop here and ask if there's any questions or comments. About what?
Atithi seva. How serving guests, serving unexpected guests like we should serve them like Narayan. I was just sort of wondering, especially in this age, we have many many psychologically concerned persons and many persons addicted to drugs and alcohol wandering around the place trying to get off anyone money for their drugs or alcohol, or just basically. And it does seem like religious institutions tend to attract probably more than their fair share of persons who are seeking either financial or psychological support. And if we allow them, definitely they'll drain the mission of it.
They'll what?
Drain the mission. Drain the mission, or at least they'll drain the devotees, at least they'll use up a lot of their time and probably some of their resources. Of course, if you gave them anything they asked for, probably they'll drain a lot of resources. So I'm just wondering, does Atithi Seva, does that refer just to anyone, or is it more for suttas? Because Savasa was actually a sutta, even though he rode Rukmini like a horse, and he was actually a. Can you elaborate it?
That's a very nice question. Maturanath Prabhu was asking, because in the last time I spoke, I told about Gurudev's saying how we should be very good hosts. And Gurudev told the story of Krishna and Rukmini in Dwarka. And Durvasa came to their palace, and whenever Krishna would offer him any prasadam, he would say, no, I'm not hungry. But in the middle of the night, he'd wake up and say, where's my puris? And fortunately, because Krishna's God, he knew ahead of time, so he had the puris ready. And then Durvasa was real mean to his host. He wiped Krishna's whole body with sweet rice. He made Rukmini be like his horse and put her on his chariot and was whipping her to go and pull him on the chariot. And Krishna and Rukmini were very tolerant. And everybody else was ready to kill him. But they were very tolerant. And then finally Durvasa Rishi said, I'm just trying to show the world what a wonderful example of hosts you and Rukmini are. And then Gurudev said, you should all be hosts like Krishna and Rukmini. So now Maturanath Prabhu is wisely asking that we have experience that over so many years that poor people or psychologically disturbed people want to just drain from the devotees and bring the mode of ignorance in and sloth in. So how do we reconcile the atithi means guest, seva, with not wanting to encourage disturbance in and among the devotees? You mean like if somebody comes into the temple, or under what circumstance? Somebody comes to your ashram, somebody comes to a class, somebody comes to a Sunday festival, somebody comes to Gurudev's festival, like that?
But obviously, some people want to live in the mark, or even just come at the sadhana. So I think it's like in the material sense, many wandering persons where a sattva may come trying to get the sadhana, you say. But they're not vaishnavas, they were sattva. I mean, on this one, but of course in the West, both in Iskcon and even in the various temples we've had in Warmba, definitely you get more than you fair share of persons who are either consciously or unconsciously coming to overtly exploit, or because they can't, because they need some psychological support. They need to lean on someone. They can't be happy on their own, or they can't organise their life in such a way that they can find somewhere to live and feed themselves, so they see. Because you do hear of was it Maharaj Ambarish was about to break his fast and first the Brahmana Brahmana came, and finally a dog eater came, and then he also said, actually my dogs are also hungry. So I'm just wondering, like...
That was Maharaj Vaikyantimala Didi, do you remember? He's in the ninth canto. He had a 30-day fast, and somebody came. He was just about to take it. Runti Day.
Yeah.
And then the dog came, and he gave it to the dog, and then it turned out to be the demigods testing him. So this is a very good question that you're asking. So, our acharyas, Srila Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, and all of our acharyas teach that even though we're not Madhyama Adhikaris, we should try to act as far as we can on the level of Madhyama Adhikari, which is to worship Guru like God and give all our love and serve with friendship to those who are superior to us. Share in friendship with those who are we consider our equals, to instruct with friendship those who are subordinate but also devotees, to be innocent, to instruct the innocent, to encourage the innocent. Oh, you're such a nice devotee here, have a lagdu. And to avoid the envious. So, but with all of that, Gurudev is always encouraging politeness and sweetness, which I'm very bad at. He said, even if someone criticizes your guru, you should defeat him in sweet words, not you stinky rascal, how dare you, but to defeat his arguments with sweet words. And there was once in the mud, at the time of Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a rascal Mayavadi. And he came to the mud and nobody wanted to give him any plate of prasadam to encourage him. But when Srila Prabhupada heard about it, he immediately invited him for prasadam and was very welcoming and warm to him. And this person changed and became a servant of him. So unless we're advanced, we really don't have the discrimination who to do what with. But whatever we do, Gurudev is encouraging us to do it with very sweet words. We can give somebody prasadam and say, I'm sorry, we have no time now, but please take some prasadam home with you. And you're welcome to sit in the classes. And then you can always say you're busy and you have no time, or whatever the case may be. But always very honorably, Gurudev said, even to honor an insect as part and parcel of Krishna. But at the same time, we don't want any disturbance. So just politely, very politely, and everybody sees that we're polite, and then everybody sees from our example how to be polite and sweet, and give the person prasadam, and ask them if they're on the Hare Katha mailing list, and things like that. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, that's quite good. I just was remembering something. Is it true that Prabhupada said, no crazies and no lazy? Is that a real quote or not?
I'm not sure. But I wouldn't be here. In fact, he said that the Krishna consciousness movement, this I did hear him say personally, because he gave it as a lecture in New York, and then it became one of his booklets. He said, Krishna consciousness is like Bellevue, or like an insane asylum for all the insane people to come and get sane.
Does that mean persons that are actually, destructive, and just like, you know, say someone wants to stay at the ashram, but then where you've got Hare Krishna on, say you've got the mamas on the cabin, you're allowed to stay in the cabin, but they overpaint that and put all graffiti on it. And, I'm just wondering, anyway.
Yeah, politely, and if it doesn't work to politely correct them, then politely escort them. But the main thing is with sweet words, Gurudev is always stressing. Does anybody like to add anything? Or is that, would you like to add any suggestion?
If all the other residents that might be coming to because someone stays there is extremely angry, aggressive, violent, ghostly haunted, then it's sort of like, you know,
we can invite them politely to come to our programs, but we don't have the facility for visitors at any other time other than our program.
Anyway, we'll work now. I just wanted to that class you got that sitting table was very.
Yes, no, it's not to invite a disturbance that would disturb the other devotees.
Yeah, the debating injunction is an unwelcome, it's an uninvited, unexpected guest comes to the door, even your enemy comes to the door, treat them so well, they'll forget their enemy, treat them like more vicious. But how to practically apply that? Or should we just, bite the bullet and do it no matter what?
Once we were telling Gurudev that a particular new devotee of his was very aggressive and strong, so we asked if we should act, how we can be on the level of Majjhima Adhikari and be very loving to that person. And he said, you can't, because you're not a Majjhima Adhikari. He said, I can, but you can't. But still, he's encouraging us to try. That's the only thing we can do. When I first joined Gurudev, I did the same habit that I would do in Prabhupada's time, that is, whatever Prabhupada would say, I would repeat it to everybody that I met. That's why I can still remember things that he said 4 years ago. So I figured that when I met Gurudev, I would just do the same thing. But Gurudev was talking about Raghunuga Bhakti. So then I was just saying it indiscriminately to everybody, and I was getting a lot of criticism for that. Not only from the devotees in ISKCON, but also from my god brothers and god sisters who were with Gurudev. So I asked Gurudev, how can I be more discriminating so that I would know who to tell what to, which is sort of related to your question. So Gurudev said, the fact that you're asking this question shows that you don't have any greed, and it shows that you don't have any Raghunuga Bhakti, and it shows that you're not practicing bhakti on the level of your heart, you're just on the mental plane. And so the mind accepts and rejects without real understanding. So because we're on that level, we can try and fail and pray, just like the prayer to Gurudev, please teach me how to honor all living entities and all devotees on the basis of their qualification. So we just keep praying and pray that he will come through us and he will act, and that it's no longer me acting. Make my voice just what you want to say. Make my eyes what you want me to see. Make my reaction to things how you want me to react. And just constantly, constantly praying. Because without Guru, we can't do anything. Just like I mentioned the other night, I asked Gurudev who distributed the book, if I think I distributed a book. Not even thinking in a puffed up way that I distributed a book, but I just distributed a book. Who distributed it? Gurudev said, Gurudev distributed it. You can't do anything. So the ability to connect with other people is his, the knowledge is his, everything is his mercy. So constantly, as we mentioned at the beginning of two nights ago's class from the song Guru Charana Kamala Bhajamam, that, oh mind, please pray to Guru incessantly and at every moment. And as soon as we don't, just like my hand is now turning towards the light, and my hand is lit. And as soon as my hand turns away from the light, it's in the shadow. And in the shadow or darkness, everything is spooky and scary and unclear. And we don't know what to do or where to walk in the darkness. So everything depends on, as Prabhupada said, everything depends upon our thick and thinship with Krishna. And as Gurudev said, everything depends on getting mercy from Guru. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, that's really
more or less.
Basically, direct inspiration from Guru and Krishna in the heart is faster than the period of intellectually trying to analyze the scriptural injunction.
And if I fail and I act wrong with somebody, well, great, because failure is the pillar of success. So, wow, I get another chance at the next minute.
Yeah, and you realize I should have just listened to my heart. Krishna was prompting, but instead I didn't listen. So next time I knew it.
Any other comments or additions or subtractions or questions about the upcoming festival and
Q&A?
No, that's good.
Sorry, no?
Huh?
I'll say no?
Yeah.